Welcome to Views from Stadium Boulevard. I'm Harley Johnson.
And I'm Hannah Hershey.
And we're back for another week of your favorite Michigan sports podcast.
And this week we are discussing and celebrating Michigan's national championship victory over Washington. And in order to do that, we're going to provide a bit of an oral history, if you will, of the past several years of this podcast that have gotten us to this point of a national championship, because those who say will be champions, and Views from Stadium Boulevard is now a champion because it has stayed through the thick and the thin, and here we are today as champions of the world.
Indeed. So it'll be a little different than our normal format. We just kind of want to revel and bask in the glory that is finally being crowned a national champion in football. I should add that caveat because our gymnastics team did win in 2021. But this is a moment that you and I have been waiting for pretty much our entire relationship. And with this podcast, even before this podcast, we created this podcast because of Michigan football. And to see it achieve new heights, ups and downs, we've been in it together for so long now. And it's still a moment that I can't really grasp fully. Like, I still can't believe that it's something that happened.
Yeah, I've been kind of reflecting over the past couple of years, actually, basically ever since Michigan beat Ohio State for the first time a few years ago, on why Michigan football means so much to me. Because it obviously, like, if you're not a football fan, it could seem superficial. And I am someone who, like, generally, like, I don't know, like, it doesn't immediately resonate with me as something that is something I would typically like, but I think what I love so much about Michigan football is the community around it, and the fact that I'm here in California now, but I grew up in Michigan and went to school at Michigan, and now I'm part of this community that can just experience so much joy and fulfillment in all coming together to watch this group of guys who has worked so hard and have been through it, and we've experienced these ups and downs together, and it really is almost a microcosm of just, like, what it is to, like, be alive and be a part of a community, like, all coming together every single week, year after year, and, like, getting our hearts broken together, like, seeing these trials, seeing these difficulties together, and then experiencing this elation together. It really is just, like, a transcendent experience. I don't know, like, it really is hard to explain just how special it is to be a part of a program like this, even just as a fan who, like, obviously I didn't actually have any role in this, but to have been watching these games and being part of this community where we are all watching these games for so many years and finally see, like, the mountaintop, it's really, really just a cool part of the human experience.
Totally agree. And the more that also just spending time just reflecting on everything that it took to get to this moment, you can really just start going further and further back and further into your own fandom and further into that community aspect that you're talking about, and how Michigan football has tied so many of us together in so many different ways through the ups and the downs, across generations, across ages, and it truly does. It's just a great thing to be a part of, wherever we are. And to finally, like you said, see that view from the top. We've been waiting for this moment for so long, and there's people out there that have been waiting the full, 26 years? And nothing beats this moment, and I think we'll get into it pretty much just right away. We're going to go from the lens of where this podcast just got its inception from, and just kind of tracking it through the years. So we kind of got into this discussion after the 2017 season. That's where we got our start podcasting and discussing Michigan football together on a weekly basis. And we're going to take that moment in time, the 2017 season, all the way to the present day, which is here in 2024 after the 2023 season. So we'll take you back in time a little bit.
Do you remember the moment that Views was born under a different name at the time? Because we had actually a whole other season that is not on this podcast feed that we uploaded on SoundCloud. And Harley, do you remember where it all started?
Yeah, so we got our start in the ugly over the summer. And this was right on the coattails of an 8-5 season. So it was well after the honeymoon period of Jim Harbaugh's hire had worn off. Granted, 8-5 isn't a losing season, but it wasn't what we were expecting Jim Harbaugh to come in and do within his third season at the helm of the football program. We had lost games that we shouldn't, and this was riding again the coattails of the 2016 team. And if you've been around since, or following this whole story since Harbaugh joined the program in 2015, the 2016 team is probably the second, third, maybe favorite team of the Harbaugh era, if you can recall that moment. And that team, if you look at it now, a lot of that roster is still in the league today. And we all assumed, seeing the level of talent, seeing us climb up the mountain with that team, we really thought they had what it took to reach the top. Obviously, it didn't go in our favor. So we assumed, locked and loaded, ready to go for 2017. And we just came up short to our standard. Obviously, there was another year afterwards that was kind of a turning point. But it was the first time we really questioned where this was going to go. And if that was the first probably inkling in the back of your mind, being like, is Jim Harbaugh going to have the answers for us? So then we fast forward to 2018, and this is where we embark on the revenge tour. So we get Shea Patterson out of Ole Miss, and we think maybe if we just have a quarterback, things will be different. And yeah, we got some wins along the way. Beat Michigan State. I believe you said Wisconsin was in there. Penn State. Who was the other one? Well, Ohio was the one that we had circled at the end of the year for 2018. And obviously that did not go in our favor.
Yeah, that season, it was, like you said, sort of an inflection point. And I think it was also a point where Michigan fans were just starting to feel like maybe we were crazy, because we still had these expectations where, like, 8-5 wasn't a good season for us. Even 9-3 or whatever it was, 10-3 the following season, that wasn't a good season for us. And we wanted these lofty goals. We wanted to beat Ohio State and win a Big Ten championship and make the college football playoffs. Those were the three things that were kind of on our bucket list of things that Harbaugh needed to be able to achieve. And the rest of the college football landscape was kind of looking at Michigan and saying, like, what makes you think that you are the caliber of program that should have that lofty of goals? Like, just accept that you're a mid-tier good, or a top-tier, maybe a mid program in the top tier. Like, you're not a program that should be expecting to make the college football playoffs. You're a program that should be expecting to have a winning record and make a decent bowl game every year. And as Michigan fans, we're kind of like, no, that's not what we want. We want to be making the college football playoffs. We want to be beating Ohio State. And we were kind of starting to question, like, are we crazy? Like, are we basing all of our goals and hopes and dreams off of the legacy of a program that hasn't existed in well over a decade, almost two decades? It was kind of like a moment where it's like, we are so heartbroken at a 10-3 season. Are we crazy for being heartbroken? Like, should we be happy with that? And we thought Shea Patterson would be our answer. He clearly wasn't, but, like, hey, seems like a nice guy. And so, yeah, that was the 2018 season. It was the revenge tour. There was a lot of momentum going into it. Chase Winovich returned, which we weren't expecting, but he returned for the express purpose of beating Ohio State. And then, of course, he didn't. And Michigan lost to Florida in the Peach Bowl. And that was also the beginning, or I guess the middle of the, first of all, the Harbaugh can't win big games narrative, the Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State narrative, and the Harbaugh will never win a bowl game narrative. Those three narratives were, like, pervasive narratives for, like, most of forever. Like, I don't know. That was a big part of at least our time as students at Michigan, and even, of course, like a year after that as well.
And then, you know, we start the proverbial climb once again in 2019. We had a lot of our returners. Shea Patterson came back again at the helm. We had a lot of promise still going on the roster, and we get to Ohio State weekend. I don't think we had a loss. I don't
remember. 2019? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So we had a devastating loss to Wisconsin. The third game of the season.
Oh, that was the that was a concussion one, right?
No, that was the year before.
One of them. Was it at Wisconsin?
Yeah, it was. Okay, so maybe it was that year.
Yeah, that was the concussion one, I'm pretty sure. And that was the one that we, again, I mean, Brandon regardless Peters? Of what was...
Is that what you're thinking about?
Dylan also had one. A lot of people had scrambled brains from concussions.
Yes, okay. And we had two... Yeah, okay, go on.
So we had the loss to Wisconsin. I don't remember if we had another one in there somewhere.
Yeah, we also lost to Penn State.
Was that the one where Ronnie Bell cried?
Yes.
Okay, so we had those two losses under our belt. Obviously, in the current landscape, and although this is no longer the case because we have obviously expanded the playoff, but in the four-team playoff, having two losses pretty much meant wraps for your team and their postseason hopes. Obviously, we were just going to take what we could get, and, you know, if we beat Ohio State, we would have been in the Big Ten Championship. Maybe you would have had your eyes on the committee, but more likely than not, two losses, you weren't going. And so, get to the Ohio State game, one for all the marbles, and just lay another big goose egg, and that one was also depressing.
That was maybe the most depressing one, except for that I guess there
2018 was pretty bad for me. That one was the one I was ready. I had, like, my money squared away, ready to go and buy tickets to the CFP, the 2018 team. Pretty sure going into Ohio State, we only had that loss to Notre Dame. And I was ready to go. I was ready to spend all of my money to go. And then we got absolutely obliterated by Ohio State. And that was, like, the lowest of the low I think I've ever felt. And having to do that climb again wasn't great. And then having the result pretty much play out the same way didn't do wonders for my mental well-being.
Yeah, I guess 2018 was devastating in the sense that the momentum was all there and that they didn't get there. It was like momentum built up for nothing. 2019 was devastating in the sense that it was like, oh, this is bad. Like a bad loss to Wisconsin, a depressing loss to Penn State. And then for Ohio State, we said, okay, this is the only thing we have left in the entire season is just hopefully spoiling Ohio State's playoff chances. If we can beat Ohio State, this season is a win, even though, you know, our postseason chances are not all there. And then we get destroyed by Ohio State as well. I think that's when a lot of Michigan fans really started to question, like, okay, what are we doing with this Jim Harbaugh era? Like, is this really the answer? Because we're now 1 year, 4, 5, and, like, it's looking bad. Like, it's getting worse every year. That loss to Wisconsin, I remember being the turning point for me as, like, the first moment where I was like, maybe Harbaugh's got to go.
And a lot of us were asking that question because, again, even through that season, 2015 all the way to 2019, we did not have a losing record. We had losses, and we had a lot of good teams in there, but we couldn't get over Ohio State, and, you know, we were getting tripped up by some of our Big Ten counterparts, and it did kind of invite those questions in. You're like, is this the answer that we were looking for? Like, yeah, it's great to, like, have these winning records again, but we want more, you know? It was always we want more. And especially the way that college football has evolved, is continuing to evolve, it wasn't good enough for what the standard became, you know? And 2020 comes rolling around with its bountifulness of just unreal world. You know, they're playing in front of no one.
We also almost didn't have a season. But do you remember the first game of that season?
We played Minnesota.
Yes, and it was like the most exciting game I'd ever seen in my life. It was our first game with Joe Milton, and we were like, oh my gosh, Joe Milton is the future. This is the best Michigan team we've had in years. Like, this is so exciting. Thank God we finally found a way to have a season this year, because it started the end of October. Like, we really didn't think there was going to be a college football season.
Probably also on purpose, because we didn't, there's no non-conference games. We all played conference games, so that was the only thing available in the schedule. Obviously, we only were able to field 6 games that year. We lost 4 of them. And I don't remember if the Rutgers game was a win, but I believe we had an episode about how it was double overtime, triple overtime, something like that. It was triple overtime.
Michigan did win. The 2 wins that year were Minnesota. Then we went on to lose to Michigan State, Indiana, for the first time in a million years, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And then we played Rutgers, went into triple overtime. Then we played Penn State and lost. Sorry, we won after triple overtime against Rutgers. And after Penn State, it was like, oh, there's a pandemic. Let's like not play football anymore. But of course, like it also worked out well for Michigan because other teams kept playing. But Michigan was like, you know what? COVID, we're out.
And we can make all the excuses in the world, because obviously making all the college teams play through an ongoing pandemic is questionable in and of itself, but it was bad. It wasn't good anywhere. And it didn't matter that we didn't play in front of anybody. It didn't matter that, you know, it was the atmosphere that it was. We still didn't win any games. And, you know, like I said, we hadn't lost to Indiana in, like, 3 decades, and we lost to Indiana. That was Michael Penix, I'm pretty sure, who beat us, funnily enough. And, you know, a lot of people still to this day, I don't know if they're joking, I don't know if they were serious, but they're like, I think we could have beat Ohio State in 2020. I'm like, I'm just glad that 2020 ended the way that it did.
There's no way anyone's serious when they're saying that.
I know, but I can't believe, like, I couldn't even bring myself to joke about that, because there's just no way I ever would have thought that.
Yeah, 2020 was, like, an ultimate low, obviously, in a lot of ways, but that was, like, before that, Michigan had been, quote, bad in the sense that, like, they were good enough that we kept all of our hopes up, and then they just barely didn't meet the high hopes we had for them. Like, they were always just so close, and it was so frustrating. 2020 was like, oh, this is a bad football team, and there's no reason to keep anybody on this coaching staff.
Which is exactly what happened. We entered a crossroads for the millionth time, but actually, like, serious time with Harbaugh. We're like, okay, is Harbaugh gonna go, or is he gonna have to, you know, let go of the reins and just kind of revamp his entire staff? And that's exactly what he did. You know, Don Brown left. We brought in just a whole new set of fresh blood. And that's what it was still a question mark at that point, because, you know, it was obviously, we had the whole narrative way back when we're like, okay, once Harbaugh gets his recruits in, things will be different. Obviously, he did that. Didn't work. He's like, all right, Harbaugh's been bringing in his recruits now for the past couple years, past couple seasons. It still didn't work. So he had to completely revamp the coaching staff. We brought in Mike McDonald and others. And it was one of those things where Michigan in 2020 was just such a throwaway for me. I don't remember it at all. But looking back on it now, it's just crazy to see, like, how crucial it was for this story to unfold and how 2021 played out the way that it did. And, you know, things obviously ended pretty bittersweetly, or just bitter, maybe, with Cade McNamara. But he really got up there with his bleached tips, said, what if we won out, and then delivered us our first Big Ten championship in, like, decades in 2021. And as much as I love this 2023 team and what they did, none of this would have been possible without the 2021 team. And I think that was, like, what a lot of people were getting at is, like, it took people coming back and staying and having full faith and belief in Michigan and its ability to win championships. Because there was a lot of people that had to come back and deliver on this. And obviously people love to quote what JJ said on Twitter, you know, he was like, take a deep breath. There's people working hard every single day to deliver, to be the best. And this is before he even stepped, like, a toe on a football field wearing a Michigan uniform. And the way that you couldn't even have predicted 2021 to unfold the way that it did after seeing what 2020 produced. I don't remember the season all that fully, but it was one of those moments where you're getting into an Ohio State game again, you're undefeated, you're waiting for that moment, and to play such a complete game of just beauty and seeing that sea of humanity storm the field on a snowy day in Ann Arbor during the game, it still makes my, like, eyes well up. It was such a beautiful game of football in every aspect of play, from coaching to how the execution was on the field. We completely dominated Ohio State when they had been the ones that were just always had a foot on our necks for almost 20-something years, and or 10 years or whatever it was. It just felt like forever. And we had that moment of, like, is this a one-off, you know? Until 2022 came around.
Yeah, I think that the psychological burden almost that 2021 team had is really not talked about enough, because after 2020, there was really no reason to hope for anything from Michigan, at least as a fan. And obviously the responsibilities that I have as a fan are non-existent. And as a player and as a member of that program, like, you are responsible for at least being optimistic. But I was not optimistic going into the 2021 season. I really didn't think there was any reason to be, and the team the year prior had not given them any reason to be. And the fact that those kids, like, went out there and not only hoped to, like, have a winning season or have a decent season, they, like, went out there with the goal of beating Ohio State and winning a Big Ten championship. I think that I, like, couldn't have done that. Like, just from a mental perspective of, like, genuinely convincing yourself it's possible. That takes a lot of, like, mental fortitude to convince yourself and, like, genuinely aim for a goal that lofty after having no evidence that it's possible to continue to go out and work for that. I think that's, like, just a very underratedly impressive psychological feat that program had, and it really did set the program up for where they are today. Because obviously this team right now is the first team to win a national championship, but they went into this year with all the momentum and no reason not to believe they could do it. That 2021 team had no evidence showing that they could do what they were about to do, and that takes a lot from them to go after what they went after, like, with just, like, like, it was a crazy thing to hope for and a crazy thing to work for. Whereas this year's team, so proud of them, but it was from day one, it was a reasonable thing for them to be working towards. And then, we go into that 2022 season after having won the Big Ten championship and beating Ohio State for the first time. And the narrative is that it could have been a fluke. And as a fan, I did think it could have been a fluke, just because, like, how did they do that? Like, that was weird. That was random. Like, why did they randomly have a season where they beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten championship, and went to the college football playoff? Like, that just happened out of nowhere. That made no sense. Okay, cool. Like, let's see what happens in 2022.
And I guess showing our true nature, because we had no faith. We had no belief. We recorded an episode, I guess, up into the Rutgers game. I don't really fully recall recording such an episode in 2020. And then we disappeared. And views with it. We were really down to the dumps, and I think if you look back at our episodes, we didn't come back until that game against Ohio State. That was our first episode back.
Yeah, obviously, we took a whole season off, and we never even acknowledged it to each other. Yeah. We were just like, no. We probably just never even texted each other about views, because we're like, I'm not hopping on the phone to talk about this stupid football program. Like, no way. You cannot pay me enough to do that.
And then even, like, 2021 unfolding the way that it did, obviously we were well within our like bounds to chat about a team that was winning games week after week, but it was probably just in the back of your head, like, when's the shoe gonna drop, you know? Like, mm-hmm. there's no reason that we should go through this again and have to, I don't know, I'm pretty sure if you had asked me, I'm like, okay, you know, we're doing the same thing that we always do. We're being the teams we're supposed to be, but the one at the end is the one that I care about and the one that we can't seem to get over. And
oh my gosh, I kind of forgot about that feeling where I was like, in 2021, I was like, I'm loving this. Like, they're looking really good, mm-hmm. but I refuse to get my hopes up because the way that mm-hmm. it hurts when they lose to Ohio State, like, my heart can't handle it. And so I genuinely was like, after every game, like, I don't care. They're like, who cares? They're mm-hmm. not going to beat Ohio State. Yeah. I'm not getting my hopes up. I'm not getting emotionally invested in this team.
Yeah, absolutely. We had no reason, no rhyme or reason. Like, okay, you know, a lot of the moving parts that were on the 2020 team are still there. Yeah, they're winning games. Sure, whatever. You know, I don't want to be close. I'm going to keep an arm's distance away. Obviously, we're in different phases of our lives, too. Like, I was in California. You were out in Boston. And after that win against Ohio State, we were like, okay, we both went to the Big Ten Championship in Indy. Because, you know, it was one of the things that was a long time coming. We'd been waiting to go for so long. We long since graduated. And it was so lovely to be there and to finally, because it's still, you know, pretty much a shoe-in. Like, if you make it in and you're from the Big Ten East, like, you are going to the CFP.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't feel like a shoe-in. Like, we were still a little bit nervous, but I remember, like, being like, we beat Ohio State. Like, at the end of the day, if we lose to Iowa, we won't. Touch us. But even if we had lost to Iowa, emotionally, they couldn't, like, we would have been upset, but, like, we would have been, like, the season's still a success because Michigan beat Ohio State.
We finally did it. Yeah, we finally got to Indy. Obviously, after that, we finally did the thing that we were been hoping and waiting for. You know, you beat Ohio State, you go to the Big Ten Championship, you win there, you're going to the CFP. We did 1, 2, 3, made it to the CFP, draw Georgia. And yeah. this is one of those things where you have to like look back on and think kind of like critically about it. If you reflect on, what was that, 2020... one, so that was in the, yeah, that team from Georgia, obviously they won back-to-back years starting that first one in the 2021 season. They had Michigan beat in every phase. Like, when you lined up the numbers, like, even before they snapped the ball for the first play of the game, like, it was gonna be a long shot for Michigan, just based off how that Georgia team was. And it was one of those things where, like, if we win, that's great. I think I'm just happy to be here. And Georgia did exactly what that Georgia team did. And they went on to win the national championship. And it was just, Michigan wasn't the team that was going to be the dominant one. And it was already looked like that, like, physically. On paper, like, mathematically, it was all going to be Georgia, and I was just glad that we were there. Obviously, I didn't want to lose like that, but it made sense. So we're like, all right, that was a weird season. We won. We did the things that we've been waiting to do for the whole reason why Harbaugh was hired. Let's see what 22 has in store for us. Start climbing the mountain again. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's the real question is still lingering there. It was like, was that a one-off? Was that a one-off? You go to Columbus, and you just absolutely beat the brakes off Ohio State again. And it was just so surreal, I guess. You're like, this happened again. I didn't think that it would in the fashion that it did. We're back in Indy. We're playing Purdue. Again, you're like, this is a shoe-in. We're going back to the CFP. go out to the Fiesta Bowl. This one hurt in a different way. We were the better team, I fully believe, on paper, across the board. We're big, physical, dominant. We just got in our own way, and we did not play to the level that we should have. And it was very reminiscent to me in my brain of when we drew Villanova in basketball in 2018. Mm-hmm. If we just played to the caliber that I knew we could do, we would not have lost. And yeah, Georgia 2021 was just a write-off. There was probably no chance. We lost to TCU by one score. And we had, what, three turnovers?
Yeah, that was a heartbreaking game. JJ did not have his best game.
No, it was absolutely devastating. And then, you know, he gets up there, JJ, and he goes, "We'll be back." And here we are today. fully delivered. I mean, obviously we lost Blake Corum to injury. And he didn't get a chance to play in the CFP. He also came back quite honestly, miraculously, just based off of having a knee injury, going through surgery, and then returning here for the 2023 season, and then having a record-breaking season. obviously, he wasn't putting up like the yardage that he was in 2022, but pretty sure he has a single-season rushing touchdown record now. and we were talking about this the other day, and I thought it was funny. It was just how we don't recall a single thing that happened the beginning of the season, and you were just telling me the opponents we were playing, and I didn't believe you, because mm-hmm. I just didn't remember this. But all of a sudden, you know, we have an undefeated record. We're going into rivalry week. Undefeated, our rival undefeated. Back home in Michigan, and this one was close. This one had me nervous. and then all of a sudden, we were back in Indianapolis again. Facing Iowa again.
And who won?
Well, yeah, we didn't do a pod after beating Ohio State this year, but we went on to the Big Ten Championship. We drew Iowa. The Big Ten West was a mess this year.
Harley got married.
We shut out. Yeah.
Harley got married to Iowa. A podcast guest.
I didn't. That I did. We had, and we sang the victors at the reception after we won. And all of a sudden, Michigan was ranked number one. And we were going back to the college football playoff. Obviously, we picked the Rose Bowl. It was very fitting. That game was what I had hoped would have happened. Against TCU, we were down in the fourth quarter. I don't think we had trailed ever this season. And JJ McCarthy just delivered when he had to. And looking back on it now, I'm sure it was great. The next game was great. Beating Washington was great. Winning the national championship and lifting that trophy was great. But I think we beat the better team in the semifinal. And
oh, I thought you were going to say in the Ohio State game. Because I think that is like kind of true as well.
Obviously, we still had to go out there and like, a lot of people have been saying the final score isn't really reflective of how close the national championship game was, because we had a couple extra scores in there.
Can I say I disagree with that? But I know that is like, anyway, I just like I don't feel like that's accurate. I feel like for a little bit the score was closer than the game was. Like, there were moments where, like, mm-hmm. I know what people mean because there was a good chunk of the game where Michigan was only up by one score. But I think during mm-hmm. those moments, the score was not indicative of how dominant Michigan had been. But anyway, yes, go on.
I think it was more that, like, seeing how Michigan came out initially, it was looking like they are about to score, like, 50-something points. It was looking like it was going to be bad. And then it just kind of stagnated itself, and then we just, like, let Washington hang around a little bit. And sure, they weren't really coming up with much. Our defense was doing its part, but our offense was just kind of slow, lagging. And it was just, like, what happened to... Yeah, and there's just, like, some decisions in there. You're like, why am I, you know, trying to throw it on, like, 4th and 3 when I'm, like, you know, barely past midfield, but whatever. But going back to it, obviously, I'll go back to the Rose Bowl here. I think we probably could have researched this, but it would have... I don't even know if we would have been able to turn it up in, like, a timely manner. But I can't recall a moment where we're, like, down by at least a touchdown. And we find a way to win. I don't recall a time where that has occurred.
You mean, like, in what time frame? Ever?
Because in, like, recent memory, I guess. I know that we've been close.
I do remember. TCU was close. Like, oh, and yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think we have because this team hasn't really
trailed. The game where, like, yeah, the game where we had Shea Patterson, the Notre Dame game, we trailed. And we were so close to coming back from behind and winning that opening game in 2018. And it was, there were just so many instances of that. And
I mean, for the longest time, our narrative about Michigan was that they couldn't overcome adversity, and as soon as they struggled on the field, they, like, mm-hmm. couldn't recover from that, which is, like,
yeah,
interesting, because, like, 2021 and 2022, I think their MO was, like, they very much could overcome adversity, and they were a second half team, and struggles in the first half mm-hmm. would not impact the outcome of the game. And then it's funny because mm-hmm. like this year the storyline is more just that, like, yeah, they don't struggle. Like, you don't have to overcome adversity if you don't, like, let things get bad in the first place.
Yeah. Very true. But, and I'm pretty sure people have brought this up as well, but this is kind of, like, the first, I mean, I'm sure we can toss in Ohio State, but barely Iowa, maybe Penn State, but Michigan this season hadn't really come up against, like, a lot of adversity like you were talking about. They hadn't really had to, like, fight in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to be, like, pinned back like that, you know, you're making mistakes left and right. Offense is stale. Things were down by a touchdown. You know, you're missing extra points, and I really thought we were going to lose by one after missing that point after attempt. But then, you know, they just start, like, they just pull in and just play into a way that there's, like, what, 4 minutes left. We score the game tying touchdown. I didn't see it. I was curled up in a ball, just convinced. I was like, I have seen this before. This is literally the TCU game all over again. We're trying with no time, like, barely a time is not in our favor. We're trying desperately to get down the field just to tie the game. And I don't know if we can do it. And, of course, JJ and Blake and Roman, they all turn up huge for us. We tie the game. You know, muff the kick again, convinced, thank God that kid had forward momentum, and we fielded the ball at the one, kneel it out, just forced overtime. And then, you know, Bama makes our offense go out there first in overtime, And Blake Corum, oh, just should have been the MVP for offense in the Rose Bowl, but they got given to JJ. Scores the go-ahead touchdown, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're out there, our defense is out there, our defense won us everything this year. Let's make that abundantly clear. You can say defense, and we've been going back and forth week in, week out this season. But this defense won us this championship.
For sure. I mean, the offense had so many chances that they just decided, they're like, actually, let's just, like, make the defense win it for us because we don't want to score right now.
Obviously, it's, like, 4th-and-3 or whatever it was. And Alabama runs it right into our defensive line, and we win the Rose Bowl. It was a surreal moment to see with my own eyes. I cried a lot. because it was just another one of those things that we could finally say that we did. We didn't physically do anything, but to see them do.
Hey, I did something. I took some deep breaths and trusted that Michigan was working hard. And I did my part.
That you did. And then all of a sudden, you know, Michigan has. They had said all year that they had Houston circled, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're getting on a plane to go to Houston to go play for a national championship. And I was a nervous wreck, like, all day. On one day, I was dreading it. And then to see our tried and true just ground game just absolutely obliterate Washington. And for us to go on and win our first national championship in 26 years. The last national championship with a 4-team field. Storybook ending, honestly. And I don't think I will care at all at what happens next year.
Don't say that.
I don't think I would. They can go 9-3. I don't care. We won a championship.
What if they go 3-9?
We won a championship. It was truly beautiful. A thing of beauty. Beautiful game of football. You know, all the mistakes that we'd seen in the semifinal, gone. Another outstanding performance by our defense. Our offensive line made Washington look sad. Our defensive line made the Joe Moore award-winning Washington offensive line look sad, and unworthy of the award.
Which is kind of the curse of the Joe Moore Award, it seems.
Yes, that is the curse of the Joe Moore Award. Michael Penix looked like he needed 10 ice baths and a very long vacation at the end of the game. Poor kid. Absolutely.
He's not okay. Just
crushed by Michigan's defense all day. Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards just running all over the field. They did 303 yards, I think, of rushing yards in a national championship game is just absolutely absurd. Defense only allowed one touchdown. You couldn't have asked for a better game. And Michigan brought the trophy home. And I cried again. And it's just, I love seeing all the stories of people looking back and reflecting on just like the steps along the way, which is why I thought it would be great for this episode to be similar. It's just seeing where you had started or things that you recall back from what you can remember of being a Michigan fan, at least for like myself. It hasn't been nearly as long for some other people. I've only started following Michigan in 2011. So obviously I was only here for Brady Hoke era and then Jim Harbaugh. But I saw a lot of the things that everybody else did. And I saw the story unfold in the same shape. And I think it's just to say that there's not going to be another team quite like this. Team 144 is very special, and it's kind of sad that we don't get to see them ever again. They're just going to be in the history books, but it was a special time. It was a beautiful time, and we can just carry it forever. I'm pretty sure a lot of us were thinking, will we ever see one in our lifetime? And I think that's part of the reason why it doesn't feel real, is that we did get to see one in our lifetime, and we get to be a part of it. And while we weren't on campus, while we weren't there in Texas, we got to share it with alumni all over the country, all over the world. And oh man, it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine.
It sure is.
I don't know what lies in store for us next. But
wherever you go.
Go blue.